Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to part two of Common Sense Media's 2025 Consensus on Media Use in Children Ages Birth to 8 years old. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I encourage you to do so. I unpacked some of the key findings in the research that Common Sense Media completed in our youngest of children. You can listen and understand today's episode without hearing last week's, but nonetheless, I still think that you should listen because I think it's super fascinating and sobering. Nonetheless, here are some key findings that I discussed in part one so we can kind of get our bearings today. Kids ages 8 and younger now spend an average of 2 hours and 27 minutes on the screen every day consuming media. 60% of that time is watching TV and videos, 26% gaming, 4% video chatting, 4% electronic reading, and 2% social networking. By the age of 2, 40% of kids have their own tablet. By the age of 4, 58% have their own tablet. And by age 8, almost 25% of kids have their own internet-connected smartphone. Another interesting stat is that gaming time has jumped 65% in 4 years. It went from 23 minutes in 2020 to 38 minutes in 2024. And also, short-form video platforms have become the new source of video viewing for young children. 48% of children 0 to 8 have watched short-form videos on platforms such as TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, and 16% are watching them daily. One other stat is that 1 in 5 children use devices for comfort at mealtime or to fall asleep. Now, the very last section of the consensus report, it covers parents' experiences and perceptions with children's media use. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper today because I think ultimately, right, it's us parents that holds the greatest responsibility for how our children use media and these devices. We know that so much of modern society is making decisions based on experience and based on feelings. Well, this is dangerous when it comes to media and devices because the parents are likely to have positive feelings about their own smartphone use, about the media that they love to consume, right? And if your experience is great, you're likely to think that my child's experience with media is going to be just as great. But the problem with making media and screen time decisions based on experience and feelings is that parents are so much more likely to allow too much too soon because the screen pacifies the child, and it brings about peace and quiet for the parents. And we know that as a parent, that peace and quiet, it feels good, right? The experience is pleasant. And so parents often want to continue that same trajectory because instead of heeding any of the warnings about the dangers of media use in children, they make their decisions based on their lived experience and immediate feelings. So this section of the report covers the parents' experience and their perceptions with the children's media use. They give stats on why parents are allowing screens, and they also give the reasons why parents are concerned about screens. So I'm going to walk through these so that we can kind of think biblically about them. Let me start by reading directly from the report. It says that parents indicate many reasons or situations for when they let a child use a screen. 66% of parents use screen media at least sometimes to keep their child occupied when the parent needs to get something done. 57% use screens to help their child learn or experience something new. 56% of parents use the screen to bond or relax together with their child. 47% of parents use it to reward good behavior. 25% use screen media of any kind, not just mobile devices, to help their child calm down when they're angry or upset. And still quoting from the report, it says, devices seem to play a role in emotional regulation, with 17% of parents reporting that their child sometimes or often uses the mobile device to calm down when feeling angry, sad, or upset. So what we have here is a clear picture that just about half of the parents surveyed are using screens as a tool to manage children, to regulate their emotions, and really to create convenience in daily life. So let's break down some of these stats so that we can look at them through the biblical worldview lens and really what is best for a child's development. So the first stat was this: 66% of parents use screens to keep their child occupied. Now, before the personal tablet or the smartphone, it used to be that children were occupied by toys, by books, coloring, or frankly, their own imagination. Even if you consider a baby or a toddler, we all know that it's possible to occupy their attention for at least 20 minutes, right, with the right toy. The problem isn't necessarily the child's desire to be occupied. The problem is that screens, which are not neutral, are being used to occupy their attention. The only reason to give a screen, really, is because, number one, it's convenient, it's easier, and it's more occupying. It engages children longer. It calms them down faster, and it occupies them more intently, right? A three-year-old with a screen is less likely to yell for mom's help and attention 15 times with that screen than with them being occupied with a puzzle, right? But here's the danger with this. Because children's brains are growing, what we use to occupy those developing minds are going to be what their brains then become occupied with kind of for life, especially through adolescence. Handing them a screen to use for entertainment or educational reason helps them, or really develops the way that they think. It affects their emotional development and their coping strategies, and really also develops the moral framework for how they view the world. And it's not just the type of content, right? It doesn't mean that we hand them a screen with a Bible-based video game or a Christian streaming service that's made for kids, because it's not just the content. It's the fact that the screen becomes the ultimate authority, the toy, the boredom buster, the coping mechanism. And then it forms these young minds, right? So it's not just the content. It's what they miss out in the real world while they are transfixed in the virtual world. And I already know that some people are saying, yes, right, but the screen is the only thing that works. And I'm going to argue back. It's not the only thing. It's just the easiest thing. And we know it's the easiest thing. As a parent, though, it is your job to teach your children how to be occupied and entertained in other ways. You make coloring, building, creating, or imaginative play the default activity. And yeah, you have to show them. You have to play with them. You have to do this in the real world that they're trying to navigate and learn from, because it is in this time, right, when you're playing with them and you're just doing these everyday tasks of life, that's where discipleship happens. And that's when you can talk about God and creation and this great redemptive story that is the Bible. And I think this is exactly what is meant in Deuteronomy 6:7 when he says, these commandments are to be on your heart. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. It's this idea that you are continuously, right, as you're going about life, you are impressing upon your children the greatest commandment: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. What it's not saying is impress screens and online media upon your children as they sit at home, as they walk along the road, when they lie down and rise up. It's not saying impress Christian media content that claims to disciple them, right? The word of God is saying that you talk to them. That requires your engagement in all the activities that they are doing. It requires for both of you to sort of have that embodied present together and sharing life. Remember, we're talking about birth to 8 years old. These are the ages when the gospel truth can be written on their heart. Their faith is pure and undefiled by the world, which is why Jesus calls his followers to have childlike faith. So I just want to encourage you that this can be done. Your child can be occupied in other healthy ways that is not based on screens. You can do this. You can make it through the day, even with young children. It is hard, but you can do it. Okay. All right. Let's unpack the next statistic, because I think that will also shed some more light on this. The next stat that I want to talk about is that 57% of parents use screens to help their children learn and explore. Again, let's set the stage. We are talking about birth to 8 years old, not tweens or teens. But over half of parents believe that the screens are tools in these young children's hands. Tools to learn, tools to explore. I think this is possibly the greatest lie ever sold to parents in modern society. Yes, the screen can teach things. We're not denying that. But while they can teach, they also can work to shorten attention spans and create a sort of addiction or a dependency. True learning happens in real life, in the embodied world where God placed us, not in the virtual world that's manufactured for maximum engagement that really is just made by these app developers to drive their own profit. At this young age, learning and exploration should not be virtual, nor should it be isolated from other people. Artificially intelligent algorithms or tutors should not be leading the child to learn at this age about the world around them. Just consider the difference of a toddler going to a park and learning about ducks versus learning about ducks on a kind of toddler-based AI-driven learning game. Sure, both scenarios, the child can learn that D is for duck. You can learn to count them by, you know, counting the ducks. But what you miss out on in this virtual game is the ability to teach patience and gentleness by feeding the ducks. Or what happens when one duck steals another duck's bread? What happens when a dog comes up and is barking and the ducks are scared? Right? That doesn't happen the same way in the virtual game that it does in the real world. Not to mention relationship. You can talk about one-on-one about God's creation and what he created in the ducks and the rivers that they swim in and his sovereign provision to give them food, right? It's not the AI voice talking to them. It's the parent's voice talking to them, that safe and authoritative voice the child has come to love and know and trust. The child also, when you think about just their physical activity, when they're just staring at a screen, they're lost in the virtual world. But when they're in the real world with the parent, they're physically moving and engaging in the world. It's very different, right? So just because the screen is convenient does not necessarily mean that it's a great tool for learning. It can be, yes, for adults, but at this age, learning and exploration must involve you, the parent, because it establishes you as the trusted authority. Otherwise, the screen becomes the trusted authority about the world. You know, but I get it, really. Playing with kids at this young age is hard and it's a lot of times boring. And we know that. We know that the common reason that a lot of us as parents don't want to do this and why we hand the screen over because it doesn't involve us. We don't want to do it. We can let the kids sort of do their own thing and let the media direct their learning and exploration. And I really want to be gracious here because I know that so many parents are deceived that they think that what they're doing is really good. And if this is you and if you've sort of fallen into this deception and you're like, but I really do think learning and exploring on the tablet is good, I just want to encourage you that even if you've trained your child to be entertained and educated with the screen, you can turn that around and they can learn so much more and better through the real world. Too many parents are believing that the screens are the only way, but there are many other ways in the non-virtual world to be learning. Okay, now I want to touch on the fact that the next stat, which is that 56% of parents are using the screens to bond and relax with children. And honestly, I think that if this is in moderation, I really don't have a problem with it. Enjoying this time of co-viewed media allows you to see how your children actually experience media. Right? Can your child distinguish fiction from reality? Right? Do they get scared or like hyper during certain scenes of a movie? Do they pick up funny one-liners and repeat them? Can they just pick out good virtue or bad character in the show? Do they have trouble reconciling evil or wrongdoing in the plot? These are valuable times that you can teach and disciple your child and think biblically about the world and the challenges that are presented in those shows and movies. Now, if the content is Christian-based, that's great, but it doesn't have to be in order for it to be a learning. It just has to be age-appropriate. I'll also add to this that I think long-form movies are actually way better than anything short-form, right? At least like 30 minutes. And that's because when you engage in longer screen time, you're getting a longer story, a more engaging story than these like YouTube shorts or Instagram reels those can diminish focus and attention span. And not only that, if you're just like engaging with this short form content with your child, there's no guarantee as to what is going to pop up next in the algorithm. You can tell me all day long that you've trained the algorithm to not have anything bad, but there is no guarantee. So overall, it is way better to have 90 minutes of The Lion King than 10 minutes of TikTok. And of course, there should always be plenty of screen-free media times of bonding and relaxation as a family. You can be reading books or putting puzzles together, playing board games, right? There are lots of ways to bond and relax. Just because screens and movies are the easiest does not mean they are the best. Okay, the next stats, just keep moving on here, is that 47% of parents use screens to reward good behavior. Now, this statistic is so important because it illuminates the fact that the screen is a great motivator. And we know this. And why? Because children get instant gratification and entertainment, right? Here's the problem, though, with this, is the screen is not neutral. It is algorithmically working to keep them engaged and entertained. And that's a problem. And that's really the problem at hand and why kids are becoming so dependent on screens to learn, to cope and relax, and now behave well. And the other part of the problem is that we as parents, we tend to focus on behavior modification with screen time as the ultimate reward. The problem with that method is that it neglects the core issue of the heart, which is what determines behavior. That's what scripture teaches. One of my favorite parenting books is Shepherding Your Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. And in this book, he explains that because the heart and behavior are so closely linked, whatever modifies behavior inevitably trains the heart. So it's this idea that you just need to find that one thing that'll motivate your child, whether it be ice cream or video games, and then you can get them to behave well and do what you want them to do by sort of dangling that carrot of motivation in front of them. But the hard truth about this type of behavior modification is it's basically saying, hey, discover the idol of your child's heart and then exploit that idol as motivation. The problem of the heart is the idol. It's the thing that you love more than anything else in the world. It's the thing that controls your emotions, right? It's the screen. So if the problem of the heart is the idol, well, the idol can't be the problem and the solution, right? So let me say it better. The screen cannot be the problem of their heart and the solution for better behavior. Now, this is a hard truth to hear, and it's even harder to change this behavior. I know that the majority of parents use the screen as the threat, right? If you don't stop what you're doing, you're not going to get any time on the iPad. And in some situations, that may work. But what happens more often is parents don't want their child to lose the time on the iPad, right? Because that's the time that they get peace and quiet. So the threat is just sort of thrown out there with little reinforcement, which undermines everything, if we're honest. Right? This is hard, I know. But I just want to encourage you to really take time to evaluate and pray over whether your screen-related behavior modification is shaping your child's heart. Overall, I would discourage you from using the screen as a reward for good behavior, plain and simple. If you want your children to grow up understanding that the screen is a tool and not a toy, the screen cannot be the reward or the motivation tactic. Okay, now let me hit on the last point regarding the experience of parents, and that is that 25% of parents use screens to calm an upset child. Now, part of me just wants to be like, y'all, I just demonstrated that using the screen to modify behavior only trains the heart to need the screen more. But the key here isn't just the use of the screen. The key is that it's being used to calm, right? This is the screen spiral we talked about last week in part one. Children cannot be trained towards calm using a screen. Otherwise, they will always run to the screen when they need to be calm, right? The heart has been trained that way. And again, while this is easy to fall into when they are young, it creates devastating consequences during the teenage years. Right? When children don't learn, right, when they're not required to actually navigate their emotions when they are young in this 0 to 8 age, they have no ability or reference to handle the onslaught of emotions and thoughts when they hit puberty, right? Using the screen to calm a child down, it sort of numbs those emotions. It helps them forget about the feelings and the thoughts that originally upset them. So we can't default to pacifying or suppressing, numbing these emotions. We have to help these young kids navigate those emotions. And emotions are a God-given tool to help us connect with ourselves, help us connect with others that are image bearers. And they really just helped us connect with God. God gives them to us to help understand Him. We are created to feel. Instead of numbing our children's negative emotions, we really just need to help them understand their humanity and their relationship to God. Because emotions are good. They helped us understand God's will, help us convict us of sin, and really ultimately help us make us more Christ-like. So now, having said all that, walking through all of these ways that reasons why parents are allowing screens, I want to talk about what parents have to say about their concerns about the negative impact. Now, the reason I want to walk through this is because what their parents are actually doing in practice is not, it does not match at all their stated concerns. Okay, so listen to this. 80% of parents are worried about excessive screen time. 79% are worried about screen time's impact on attention span. 76% worry about sexual content exposure. 75% on social media's effect. 74% are worried about cyberbullying. 69% of parents are worried about media's impact on body image. And 65% are worried about depictions of drugs and alcohol. Well, parents are right to be concerned about these things. But you can't be concerned about these dangers while at the same time allowing the screen and online media to occupy them, right? The screen cannot be the problem and the solution. So let's look at this deeper. First stat, 80% worry about excessive screen time. We have to acknowledge that when parents' concerns are framed around excessive screen time, the range of what that excessive is just completely open to interpretation. The American Academy of Pediatrics states that this age range should have no more, really from 0 to 2 hours max. And they're really kind of liberal in their allowance. But do you remember what was the average amount of screen media? 2 hours and 27 minutes per day in this age range of birth to 8 years old. Now, when the question was asked differently by Common Sense Media, only 35% of parents said that their child spent too much time on media. And 59% said that it was just the right amount. So that means that 59%, nearly 6 in 10 parents believe that 2.5 hours a day is the right amount of screen time. Well, I'm going to argue that at this age, the concern should be any screen time, because we know at this age, none is best. And when I say none, of course, I'm really talking about that no personal one-to-one screen time. That is what's dangerous. A family movie night of Mulan is not the same as watching YouTube videos or playing games on the iPad. And then, oh my goodness, then there's this stat. An average of 75% of parents rate their parenting as good or excellent when it comes to children's media use. So, well, that's all well and good. But if you look at the breakdown of kids' ages, this stat is, that's the average, right? Look at the stats as they drop. When kids are 2 and under, 88% of parents say they're doing excellent. Between ages 2 to 4, 77%. And ages 5 to 8, 68%. The rate falls 10% for each age and stage of development. And why would that be? Because they're allowing more and more time on the screen. And so, of course, the parents feel bad about that. Well, why are parents allowing more screen time? Because the child has grown accustomed to it. Their heart has been trained on it. Right? So think about it this way. The screen is introduced for convenience and for calm between, you know, birth and 2 years old. And then they introduce it for learning apps between like 2 and 4, those formative years where their brain is being developed and they're learning about the world. And then their heart becomes trained, right, to love it. And then the apps sort of have this maximum engagement. And so they're, you know, constantly alluring them into more and more. Well, that cycle just continues until the parents are allowing 3.5 hours a day between ages 5 and 8, because that's the average, 3.5 between ages 5 and 8. Now, at this point, so many parents feel like it's too late to turn back. Like the child has been trained on the screen and, you know, they sort of rationalize, well, they're just going to be using screens the rest of their life. So there's little reason to sort of make any changes now. But Then when we combine, okay, that reality that we know exists with this next statistic, we discover what the true recipe of disaster is in a child's life. Let me just quote this stat directly from the report. Quote, many parents take a hands-off approach to managing their child's screen time. 75% or 75% of parents whose children use screen media do not use any tools or settings to limit screen time, and 51% do not restrict the types of content their children consume. Y'all, 75% of parents allowing screen media are not doing anything to limit the time or content. No built-in parental controls on Apple or Android, no third-party monitoring services. This shows a lack of an intentional media standard in the home. The parents haven't purposely set any limits. And while I understand that this is, you know, easy when the child is a baby, you know, as we can all tell by the results of this report, you know, it gets harder for parents to set limits as the child ages. And we know from so many other sources, it's not only harder on the parents, but it's harder on the kids to consume this much media. I know it's never a parent's intention to get to this place, but because they aren't committing to a media standard, they're allowing convenience and behavior modification and guilt to govern the time their child spends on a screen. But I want you to remember, there is so much abundant grace in Jesus Christ, and there is no condemnation for what you didn't know yesterday and you didn't do last year or the year before. But now that you know, you do need to act on the knowledge that you have. And this is where I want to land this episode. I want every parent who is listening, every friend of every parent who may be going through this, to remember that our chief goal as parents, our chief goal as humans, right, is to glorify God. No matter where you are in your parenting journey, God will be glorified by any faithful attempt you make from here on out to establish a healthy media standard in your home. Even if you think that, you know, it's a hopeless attempt and that your kids are already dependent on social media or video games, there's no turning back. There is abundant and amazing grace in Christ. And I truly pray that unpacking these statistics sheds light on the reality of how easy it is to be swept away by too much too soon. So with that said, we all need an intentional media standard. So let me remind you that we have the Managing Media, Creating Character book, as well as study guide. It is exactly set up to do this, to help you establish a media standard in your home, no matter what age your children are, no matter what stage of life you're in. So you can gather your small group, gather a group of neighbors or your kids, friends, parents. There's 8 video sessions and a leader guide that sets this up. So it's really, leading a group is painless. And this is really the tool that everyone needs to sort of reset the habits in their home. It's never too late. So I encourage you, you can jump over to Amazon and get both the book and the study guide. If you have any questions, reach out. I'm happy to discuss this, give you more information if it's unclear. But what you need to do is set that intentional media standard before it is too late. So thank you so much for listening. May God bless you in all of your attempts in parenting, especially as we enter summer. I know it's hard, but you can do this. So until next time, go and be brave.